And now, at the risk of opening oneself up to charges of extreme self-parody, this public radio program will engage in a live broadcast discussion of whether the latest surveillance scandals uncovered in Washington are Orwellian or Kafkaesque. Orwellian as in this.
Stand up straighter. Look me in the face. Tell me, Winston, and remember, no lies. What are your true feelings towards Big Brother?
I hate him.
You must love him. It's not enough to obey him. You must love him.
Actors John Hurt and Richard Burton in the movie 1984, based on George Orwell's book that changed the English language. And then there's Kafkaesque.
Before the law, there stands a guard. A man comes from the country seeking admittance to the law, but the guard cannot admit him. Can the man hope to enter at a later time?
I've heard it before. We've all heard it. The man is dying of old age, still waiting there. And just at the end, the guard tells him that the door was meant for him, only for him.
The guard tells him no one could enter this door. And now I'm going to close it.
Orson Welles there and Tony Perkins in the, I should say, dreadful movie of Kafka's classic, The Trial. So one can think of government surveillance as Big Brother in Orwell's 1984. We can think of the government intelligence operation also as a mindless, incomprehensible guardian who only slams doors in people's faces, as in Kafka's The Trial. But do we really need some new words here? Have we lost some precision in all of this use of the words Kafkaesque and Orwellian? Robert Coles knows a bit about George Orwell. He's a professor of cultural history at De Montfort University in Leicester, England. Professor, welcome.
Hi.
Also with us, Rebecca Rosen, senior associate editor at The Atlantic. She's fond of Kafkaesque to describe what's going on today. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Robert, let's start with you. What would Orwell think of the throwing about of the term Orwellian? He'd probably be complimented first, I suppose.
Yeah, well, words like Orwellian came pretty much after Orwell died. Orwell was just an ordinary guy writing brilliant stuff. As he came upon it, he was really a journalist more than an aspiring artist. But I think he would have been a bit embarrassed by using the term. That's not to say, of course, we can't use it, because I think it's very apt. I'm not here to argue it isn't Kafkaesque, but it's certainly Orwellian what's going on at the moment.
I'm going to play you another clip from that 1984 movie called 1984. And in some ways, if you look deeper into Orwell, you find much sharper similarities with what's going on today. Here's a reference to the Cold War in 1984 that, of course, hadn't begun by the time Orwell wrote 1984, that seems to be an exact parallel to the War on Terror. Listen.
The war is not meant to be won. It is meant to be continuous. The essential act of modern warfare is the destruction of the produce of human labor. A hierarchical society is only possible on the basis of poverty and ignorance. In principle, the war effort is always planned to keep society on the brink of starvation. The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects, and its object is not victory over Eurasia or East Asia, but to keep the very structure of society intact.
Orwell's idea of endless war, relevant in our time, Robert Coles?
Yeah, I think it's more relevant during the period of the Cold War, where Orwell prophesied or foresaw that it was a good way of keeping both sides' populations tame by arguing that both sides were endlessly at war. Now, of course, the War on Terror is too abstract to put together. We don't know its beginning, we don't know when it ends, and we don't really know what it is in the middle. He would have approved of that, but he would not have approved of any suggestion that the Cold War was not a real war. Hmm. He was very clear whose side he was on there. He was clearly on the side of the British and the Americans against the Soviet Union, which he saw as a monstrous tyranny.
Interesting. So the War on Terror is a little beyond the abstraction even of Orwell. Rebecca Rosen, Kafka loved abstraction. He'd love the War on Terror.
Right. I mean, I think that at least at a very fundamental level, the way the war on terror has been used or is being used to justify these programs, I mean, it's relevant both to Orwell's 1984 and, I mean, Kafka wasn't looking at a war, but the notion that the government was doing things beyond your control and for reasons you didn't understand, I think at that very abstracted level, there is a parallel.
When you think of Kafka, you think a little bit of Edward Snowden in this subcontractor world, kind of a two-bit top secret security clearance fellow who sees all this stuff going on, whether you support him or not. He was caught in a fairly Kafkaesque Booz Allen Hamilton.
Sure. I think that there's some interesting parallels between Snowden and Joseph K., the main character in the trial. But I think, I mean, beyond the eerie fact of their being very similar in age, but I think that the analogy that I have been picking up on and have written about isn't so much about Snowden, but is about the NSA's programs more specifically.
So Kafka described a very cruel world in his books, I think. Mm-hmm. Is this cruelty here or just a sort of dumb, mechanized government operations?
Yeah, it seems more like the latter for now. I think the concern is really the secrecy of it and the potential abuses of it in the future. I haven't seen evidence of the abuses yet, but I think we don't know because everything has been very secretive. So I think in the paper that I was looking at by Daniel Solov, the legal scholar at George Washington University, I think that the concerns he has about these programs are more about how we don't know what's going on and how they could be abused down the road.
Robert Coles, if Orwell were alive today, what do you think he would hone in on in 2013 as going on in our lives right now to really extract and you know, change the language once again?
Yeah, well, I think the big point, John, is to say that 1984 is about 1949 in London. And in that sense, it's got very little to do with what happens now. I mean, nobody makes a phone call in 1984. It's all about bits of paper being burnt in a furnace. But if Orwell came back now, he would just forget all that stuff and see the big point. And the big point is that all centralized states and power systems have a will to power. They want power for power's sake, and no detail is too small for them to amass in order to get what they think they're going to get through having those details, which is power. Mm. That's what he would home in on, and that's why he would approve of this Orwellian-type analogy that's being made in the U.S. at the moment.
All right. Robert Coles is a professor of cultural history at De Montfort University. Rebecca Rosen, Kafka would just notice that he's realism, not fantasy anymore.
I suppose. I mean, I think Kafka maybe always felt that way.
Rebecca Rosen is a senior associate editor at The Atlantic. If you could write a novel about the world today, nail it like Kafka and Orwell nailed the 20th century, give us your title, Betrayal, the not-so-new SS of the American Taliban from Salt Lake City, Utah. From Dallas, The Price of Freedom, The Arbiters of Liberty, Kings Among Men, The Cost of Comfort. And from Orleans, Massachusetts, Below the Surface, Bloodletting Americans. We always want to hear from you. Every day, The Takeaway involves listeners in the next day's program. You can always reach us by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks so much for listening, along with the NSA. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.